When you think of high fashion, and if you've seen me, you know that I don't think of high fashion. But when you think of high fashion, you don't automatically associate it with the words socially responsible and eco-friendly. And even if you do, you might have the image of, I don't know, a jewel-encrusted Birkenstock or a hemp caftan, something like that. But what if you could honor earthwise sensibilities and show off your fashion savvy at the same
I'm
time?
in.
Well, that's exactly what one designer has managed to do. So well, in fact, that not only was he chosen by Bono to partner in a socially responsible clothing line, that's the mark of approval, but he also was just picked for a fashion industry award by Vogue magazine. Joining us now in the studio is designer Rogan Gregory. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to say, when I think of fashion, I think of, almost disposable consumption. The idea is you buy what we have this year because whatever you're wearing last year, isn't worth even hanging in your closet. So I wonder, what can make clothing responsible fashion?
I think that's a good question, and that's kind of the question I was asking myself when I originally started my line because I grew up in, I would say, a kind of environmentally conscientious family, and I got into a business that is completely superficial. I've always been a kind of an aesthetic person, and I'm just really observant, and all the little details in the world kind of fascinate me, in clothing and in nature and everything around, everything around me interests me. So I ended up getting involved in this design world because that's my real passion. After I'd been involved in it for a couple of years, my partner, who is also, I would say, he really is an environmentalist, kind of more than I claim to be. But both he and my mother is too, and my father's a professor, and they're all very kind of conscientious. And I'm probably my sister's was in the Peace Corps, and now she's the most noble soul in our family. But I was the kind of selfish one, I guess. And so
The fashionably black sheep.
But even then, you saw problems with the fashion industry.
I mean, it's pretty obvious to me. It's like I from the beginning, I believed that first of all, to be environmental about it, wanted to create clothing that I mean, I'll have a pair of jeans on for like this. People might discuss by this, but I'll wear a pair of jeans for 4 or 5 months and then change them over and wear the same thing every day. And so I have a uniform that I wear, and I encourage people who buy my stuff to do the same thing. For many people, that's unrealistic. So that was my kind of original plan, is to create beautiful clothes that you could buy new that you would wear out. Above and beyond that, I mean, that's not the way everyone shops. So we created an additional line that was a commitment. It's called Loom State. Commitment to 100% organic, certified organic cotton. So everything in the line that's cotton is organic. And then eventually Bono heard about that, and Bono and Ali, his wife, heard about that, and they got us involved in a company that creates sustainable development and trade in the developing world.
Well, that's the material side, but there's also the ethical part about putting it together and how
Sure.
that's done without abusing third world countries and that sort of thing. How did you approach that?
It's very complicated, to be honest. And we're a very small company, so
But do people come to you and say, "Look, if you're going to do these at any sort of affordable price, you gotta do what everyone else does. You have to go to places that you might not want your own relatives to work."
well, I have to say that none of what I do is very affordable. We have the luxury
Problem solved.
of small quantities, and we know most of the owners of all these factories. So that's the best way to do it, is get personal with them. And because you, if it's funny, because if you make claims that no one in your factory is being, some companies make these claims. I don't know I don't know everyone in the factory, and it could very well be that someone is neglecting their child at home, and I mean, anything could happen. So I feel like making claims gets you in trouble sometimes, but we do the best we can. We know the sources of our the materials that we use. We know most of the factory. Well, we know the factory. Every factory that I mean, I know the owners of, and we do the best we can to ensure that no kids are making our clothes, and they're being paid fair, living wage in the country they live in. And so we're not perfect, but we're doing the best that we can.
When you originally came on the scene, how did fashion editors, how did they react when you came in and you explained your philosophy?
And you wore the same thing every
And you
day.
wore the same. I mean, what was the original reception like?
That's an interesting question, because I think it's such a foreign concept, to be honest with you, to many fashion people that they kind of nod their head and then sounds good, you know. But what do the clothes look like?
Yeah.
You know, that's the real question. So that it's nice because now it's really coming on strong. And I don't know if you guys know Barney's New York.
We've heard of it.
Right. But Julie Gilhart is the fashion director there, and she's kind of really been a huge proponent and fan of ours. And she's really helped us push the cause. We do Loom State for Barney's Green, which is a whole, you know, environmentally, socially based initiative. And over Christmas, they've gotten, like, many important designers to design kind of more ethical stuff. So as far as a trend goes, I think it's a trend that definitely is happening and that is here to stay. I mean, if
a trend or a fad. I mean, fashion, you know, today they're talking about green and sustainable clothing. Mm-hmm. But does that mean next year that's all out the window? You've had your moment with the green fad?
Another good question. I mean, I think we're at that tipping point. And if you tried to do this 10 years ago, it probably wouldn't work. But now with everyone, this is on the tip of everyone's tongue, like, mm-hmm. you know, our fossil fuel resources are unsustainable, and there's so many disasters happening, and I don't want to be like a pessimist, but like there's so many disasters happening in the world today that are all around energy. And so that with the organic food movement is really, like, we're kind of striking while the iron's hot. I feel as though if you heard, the statistics on organic are pretty compelling. In 2001, I think it was like the business, the amount of cotton was worth like $250 million. Now, next year it's projected to be $3.5 billion. Hmm. So just in the last several years, it's grown by 40, 50% every year. So, you know, it's consistently growing. Farmers actually cannot have their crop certified. They have to not use synthetic fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides for 3 years before they can actually get their crop certified. So they're wondering if it's like a good investment for
mm-hmm,
them.
Sure.
Which I think the numbers show that it's worthwhile. So I think we're making a lot of progress, and I don't think we have a choice. I personally don't think we have a choice. I think more people are feeling that way. Where, you know, food, we know we're concerned about what we put in our body. We want to make sure it's good quality and not organic typically, and same way with clothing. It's like you have choices. If the design is good quality design, why wouldn't you pick something that's organic? It's a simple question. So I think more and more people are asking themselves this question, and there are alternatives, and we provide one of those.
We're talking to designer Rogan Gregory about his various philosophies, about why he decided to become a designer and make the kind of clothes he does and sort of focus on this eco-friendly fashion. You said, it was interesting, you said, we need to act now, sort of strike while the iron is hot, mm-hmm. while everybody's talking about this. You have a new zine coming out?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're a small company, and we do things with a low budget, and it's called Act Natural, our company Loom State, that's 100% organic commitment, is sponsoring it, and there's a little bit of humor in it, but it's our way of getting. There's a lot of statistics, we call it Loom Stats, a lot of statistics in there about why organic is important. And there's a compost article. There's this friend of ours in LA who has a biodiesel gas station. We featured him. So it's pretty cool. If you go on loomstate.org, you can get all of it.
All right, we'll link to that in our blog as well.
Rogan Gregory is bringing eco-friendly principles to high-end fashion design. He's the recent winner of the Vogue CFDA Fashion Fund
Award. Yeah, you got a big chunk
Award.
Of change for that,
congratulations.
Didn't you?
Yeah, not bad.
What are you
going
to do with that? I mean, not to get personal.
Yeah, exactly. I could say something obnoxious, but I'm going to use it to further my cause and maybe a fashion show.
Very good.
Maybe. Thanks for coming in, Rogan.
Let us know when that happens.
I will,
of course. Rogan Gregory, thanks for coming
to the
studio.
Thank you for having me.
Stick around. Chris Elliott is coming into the studio. He's an actor, a writer, apparently a mountain climber, too. That's what it says
brave,
in the book.
Brave man.
It says it in print, Chris. It's true then, right? Yeah. Okay. Chris Elliott's going to make his way in very shortly.
This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.